You. Boom. We are now recording. Thank you. So it's the city of man, right? It is the city of man. It's what everything, it's the way the world works, right? The world works contrary to the things of God, right? And in 17, God's wrath kind of gets poured out on all of Babylon. Think back to the book of Exodus, okay? And in Exodus chapter 15, I believe it's 15, it might be 14, but right after God's people are set free through the Red Sea, right? And it collapses on Pharaoh's soldiers, okay? The very next thing they do is sing this song, singing a new song. They sing a song of what God has done for them, okay? Does that make sense? When a song is sung in scripture, it is celebrating a new work of redemption that God has done. Revelation 18 is similar, okay? Babylon, the world system that has conquered so many Christians and killed Christians, it is killed. It's being destroyed in 17. And so in 18, the song is celebrating. It's an echo of Exodus, okay? A book came out a few months ago called Echoes of Exodus, and this is part of that, right? So let's get into this actual song and see what we've got. Ty, can you read Revelation 18:1-2?
After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast."
Perfect. So a couple things. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Remember, so Alexa and then Abigail, I'm going to start asking you some more things since you've been with us for a couple of weeks. Alexa, and then I forgot the question. The key to interpret Revelation is not to look forward to the future, but to look where?
Back to the Old Testament.
Yes, back to the Old Testament. This fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great is taken directly from Isaiah 21, verse 9. Okay, it's like a direct quote. So it's very likely that John has Isaiah open while he's writing the letter of Revelation and Daniel open while he's writing Revelation. Okay, this city, I mean, sum this up, Ty. What has basically happened to Babylon?
It's been destroyed.
Yeah, it's become this a haunt for every unclean spirit, unclean bird, unclean and detestable beast. This is, Babylon was the great, right? Fallen is Babylon the Great, this beautiful metropolis of sin, the world system. It has been completely gutted. It is destroyed. Okay. It's been completely decimated. Ty, can you read verse 3?
For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living.
Good. Okay. So again, this is the same thing. The nations, this is everyone has done this, right? It can't just be one city because all the nations have been involved with this. This is the whole world system that which by the way, if all nations are involved with this, it means there is no nation that belongs to God anymore, right? America doesn't, you get what I'm saying? It doesn't belong to God. Like everything is God's. So, Alexa, what do I mean by that then? America, I mean, America belongs to God, but it doesn't really belong to God. And Babylon, what am I talking about there?
They don't worship him the same way that like Israel did back in the olden days, if that
That's
makes
true.
sense.
That's true too. That's true too. The main thing is no nation, all nations worship Babylon. All nations want to be like the rest of the world. So when we say, like a lot of people will say, like America is God's country or America belongs to God. Well, that's not what the case. According to Revelation, all nations have wandered away from God, have fallen from God. They're all involved in this sinful immorality, but now the end has come. Okay. Ty, let's keep going with you, man. Can you do 4 and 5?
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her people, out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities.
Good. Okay. So God kind of breaks from talking to Babylon. Abigail, according to verse 4, God stops talking to Babylon. Who does he start talking to now? Look at where it says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, who is he talking to in that next section, that next line?
His people?
Yeah. Okay. Now follow this. Babylon is falling, Babylon, the world system. And so he's telling his people, Abigail, what does he tell his people to do?
Come out of her.
Okay. So Ty, what is he trying to say? Think about what Babylon is and what he's telling his church to do. What's he really saying there?
It's to like leave the world system.
Yeah. Yeah. That's perfect. It's not leaving the world. Okay. We don't build spaceships or whatever, right? To get out of the world. We're not supposed to make our own. Alexa, what am I trying to say? We're not trying to make our own little society. How do we stay out of the world? What's going on here?
So we're supposed to like stop worshiping like the money, the sex, the power, and everything we mentioned previously, and like look towards God instead.
Yeah, yeah. And Ty, you said it right. It's not getting out of the world. It is getting out of the world system, though, right? Like we still have money. We might still get married. We might still enjoy relationships. We might still like TV shows. But we can't worship those things, right? We can't let those things drive us. We're still in the world, but we're not of the world. John chapter 17, verses 15 and 16, kind of where Christ talks about in the world, but not of the world. John 17, verses 15 and 16. Excuse me. Lest you take part in her sins. So the whole reason we're coming out of this world is so that we don't take part in the sinfulness in the world, and then we will share in her plagues. Where else in Revelation have we heard about plagues? Alexa, go ahead.
The Exodus plagues.
Yeah, the Exodus plagues, which in Revelation mirror the what?
The seven trumpets.
Yes. Okay, yeah. You got it. The seven trumpets, exactly. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. Lest you share in the plagues. So that's what's going on here is the punishment that's coming. And so God is saying, get out of this world system because there's punishment coming for this world system. The trumpet, the judgments are coming onto this world system. Her sins are heaped high as heaven, which seems to mean that there's a lot of them. Okay. If you have money that stacks high to heaven, you have a lot of money. The wickedness of this world is going to keep going, okay? It's not going to stop until the end. But that doesn't mean that God has fallen asleep on the job, because look at what Revelation 18, verse 5 says. Her sins are heaped as high as heaven. We know ahead of time, the wickedness is just going to keep piling up. Not that that makes us, like, we still try to get people to repent. We still repent ourselves. But the world system as a whole, it's going to keep going. For every sinner that repents, there's probably going to be a few sinners who don't repent, right? So that, again, we're not defeatist. We're not, well, he said it's going to pile as high as heaven, so why should we even try to stop it? No, that's not the point. This is to give us hope that God is still in control and we can still trust him and obey him, okay? Ty, can you do 6 and 7?
Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cups she mixed. As she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a like measure of torment and mourning. Since in her heart she says, I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see.
Good. Okay, so a couple things. First of all, Abigail, based on 6, how much punishment is God going to deal back to Babylon?
Double for what?
Yeah. Sorry, double what?
For what they've done.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. So God is furious. He's paying her back double. Not in an unjust way. This is like a metaphor, right? This is how bad they're going to get it. This is how intense this punishment is going to be to Babylon. Verse 7 is like pulling directly from Isaiah 47, verses 7 and 8. Isaiah 47, verses 7 and 8 connects directly to this. Isaiah is a lot about the fall of Babylon, so the literal city of Babylon in the Old Testament. But now in Revelation, we're learning, right, the mystery has been revealed that every city is Babylon when it turns away from God. The world system is turning away from God. Ty, can you just read 7 one more time?
As she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a like measure of torment and mourning, since in her heart she says, I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see.
Good. So I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see. Alexa, and mourning I shall never see. What has she deluded herself into thinking?
That she's like, I don't know how to like say this without like rewording exactly what the Bible says.
So
like
what
that
is,
she's not gonna like feel the same pain, I guess, that like
everyone else
does.
Close. You're the Ty, what do you think? And mourning. So what does it mean to mourn something? Or Ty, if you think you got it, just go for it.
Well, I think it means that she feels like she'll never be defeated.
That's right. Mourning, to mourn over something. She thinks there's no punishment coming. It's so easy to get, I mean, think about how easy it is when we sin to think, I mean, you know, you commit some sin and then nothing happens to you. You're not struck by lightning or whatever. It's so easy to think, well, okay, I'm just going to keep going. You know what I mean? Like without the Holy Spirit convicting us of that sin, we start to think, well, gosh, I mean, you know what? I know it's a sin, but at least I went out doing what I loved, right? Like in no way is there any idea in your head of, dude, I'm going to have to pay this check one day. You know, I'm going to have to pay this back and I'm not going to be able to. And that's the whole world system of Babylon is there is no punishment for what's going to happen. There's no real punishment. Nothing's going to happen. Mourning, I will never see. I sit as a queen. I am no widow. I'm doing fine. These are going great. We're doing awesome. Let's just keep this train rolling. Ty, go ahead and read 8.
For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her.
Good. Okay. So a couple things here that's really interesting. First of all, Abigail, how quickly is this going to come about?
In a single day.
So notice this, you know, Babylon has been going on for how long has the world system existed? How long have we been in Babylon, Ty? How long has the world been turned away from God?
Since Adam and Eve committed sin.
Good. Untold thousands of years, the world has been away from God. And then Abigail, how quickly is this punishment going to strike? Immediately. The whole thing's going to be flipped over on its head, and it's going to be, that's how intense and fierce. And remember, Alexa, Revelation's not literal. It's what?
It's like figurative, like metaphoric and stuff.
Yeah, it's symbolic. Yeah. So is it a literal 24 hours? We don't know. But that's God's point, is it is going to go from just continuing to sin as if it's never going to stop, to being completely decimated into nothing. God's return is going to immediately change everything back to the way it should be, right? Now, a couple things here. What are a couple of the punishments specifically in verse 8 here? What you got?
Death.
Yeah, death is one for sure. That's a big one. Yep. Give me, Alexa, like two more.
Mourning and famine.
Good. All right. First of all, look at how Alexa went right back to the text. That's what you're supposed to do. The Bible is open note, right? Just use it, right? Famine. Do you guys remember last semester what book we studied on Thursday nights? Yes.
I'm just making sure. I got nervous. I don't know if that was last semester or this semester.
No, like, that was good.
We're doing Esther.
But... Exactly. So yeah. Ruth, now, Ty, remember this. How does the book of Ruth begin? What's wrong? Goodness. And think of, now think about what she just read, though.
Death, oh, it was a famine.
There was a famine in the land. Do you remember why there was famine in the land?
Oh.
Now, it's not because of like the heat mass index was too high for crops or whatever. It's during the time of Judges, right? Israel is supposed to do what? And they don't do it. They're supposed to. Go ahead.
Worship God?
Yeah, yeah. When in doubt, right? They're supposed to worship God. Famine is a covenant judgment. It's not like there's a, it's not just like, you know what? I'm going to take away all your food. Just random. That is a specific judgment for not worshiping God. I'm going to, it's a specific covenant judgment. The Lord has judged Babylon. All right, let's keep going. Alexa, can you read 9 and 10?
When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. You say N10 as well?
Yes.
Okay. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, "Woe, woe to you, great city, you mighty city of Babylon. In 1 hour, your doom has come."
Good. Okay. So these are the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality. They're the rulers of the earth living who live according to what to the way of the world. People in power who live in accordance to the way Babylon works, right? People in power who care more about money, sex, power, what people think versus what is right, okay? That's the kings of the earth, okay? And again, it doesn't say that they worshiped her. What's the specific thing it says that they did, Alexa?
That they like shared her luxury. So and they committed adultery with her?
Yeah, so there it is. Again, don't miss this. He uses this idea of sexual immorality, okay? Which shows us what, like, sex is this deeply important, sacred, cosmic thing. Sex between two people points to a bigger reality, okay? God is saying, this is what it's like between me and my church, the intimate connection, right? The powerful connection. That's what worship is supposed to be, this intimate connection with the Lord. And so illicit sexual behavior trivializes this thing that has cosmic reality, the sacredness of what's happening here. When God decided to explain the end of the world and his connection to the world, he uses sex as an example. You see what I'm saying? Now, and again, not that there's some weird kind of sexual connection there, but to show us when he invented sex, that's how deep and important this is, right? And they see the smoke of her burning. This is graphic punishment language, right? And they saw her sitting in timeout. It doesn't say that. They saw the smoke of her burning corpse. This is God's wrath on the way of the world. And it also says, you see in verse 10 where it says they will stand far off. We see that three different times in this section. They will stand far off. They will stand far off. They will stand far. Ty, why would they be standing far off? There's probably a couple of reasons, actually, but go ahead.
They probably don't want to be associated with her.
Boom. That's the first one. They now realize, oh, crud. Like, we shouldn't have, we shouldn't have been a part of this. This was wrong. We shouldn't be doing this, right? So one, they don't want to get punished. And so let me ask it another way. Why are they standing far off from her instead of trying to help her?
Because they don't want to get burned too.
Yeah, it's this selfishness, right? These people aren't legitimately mourning because they're repenting over their ways, right? Alexa, if they're not repenting over their way, if they're not mourning over their ways and sad over their ways, why are they sad then?
They're thinking that they have to get punished.
Yeah.
They're not sad about what they did. It's just like they got to get, you know, Polynesian now. So
yeah, you're there. There again, repentance is not in this section at all. And again, in a single hour, your judgment has come. What seemed invincible has now vanished before their eyes. Okay. What seemed invincible, the way of the world, who is like the beast, right? What seemed invincible and indestructible is now completely destroyed. All right. Alexa, can you read 11 through 13?
The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cargoes of cinnamon, spice, of incense, myrrh, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and human beings sold as slaves.
Good. So there's a lot in this paragraph. First of all, notice the first few things in verse 12 that are listed here. Actually, I'm so sorry. Let's back up. In 11, so now we had the kings of the earth weeping. Now, Alexa, what group of people is weeping now?
The merchants.
What's a merchant? That's very King James Shakespeare. What's a merchant? What does a merchant do?
I mean, they're like the shopkeepers. They sell their things.
Boom. They sell and trade. Okay. Ty, what literal city have we been reading about here, basically?
Babylon.
Good. There's another city in the Old Testament called Tyre, T-Y-R-E, okay? It's big in Ezekiel, I think. It's called Tyre. Tyre was it was a very corrupt city. It was a very sinful city, okay? And it was also against the people of God. As we continue in this chapter, the fall of this city is going to be very similar to the fall of Tyre. Now, why would they do that? Again, what's the point here? Why would you cite another city like Tyre to show what?
I mean, Babylon is not one city. It's all the cities. So if they compare it to a different city, it's like really nailing in that point that it's like, hey, this is all of you, not just them.
Yes, that's exactly right, Alexa. This is the whole, Tyre may be different than earthly Babylon, but it is the same Babylon. The spirit of Babylon continues to be destroyed and then rise again in another city and destroyed and rise again, almost like a false resurrection, an anti-resurrection. This is where we get the Antichrist language from. It's not a person, right? It's not Oprah. It's not Elvis, right? It wasn't Ronald Reagan or whatever. It's a system, an anti-Christian system that different people can embody. Now, notice the reason I bring that up is Tyre was full of merchants and buying and trading and selling. The first four or five things listed here, gold, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, go down to 16. In 16, we see the whore of Babylon who is destroyed, and she is clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, gold, jewels, pearls. She's wearing, in verse 16, she's wearing the same stuff listed in verse 12. She is the stuff. Does that make sense? It is not a person. It is a system. She represents the things that everybody valued and loved above everything else. Does that make sense? Are you guys tracking with me? She is the embodiment of all this stuff. And then in like before this in chapter 17, verse 4, same description, same clothing, right? And here's the other thing that's super interesting. Abigail, can you just read 13?
Spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, and sheep, horses and chariots and slaves, that is human souls.
Whoa, what is the one that does not belong in that list?
The humans.
Yeah, I was about to say, not a trick question. Yeah. Now, here's what's super interesting here. This is I didn't even know this verse was in the Bible. This is a huge verse that you can go to when your friends talk about how the Bible is pro-slavery. Okay? So before we get into the deep revelation meaning, this is one that you, look, the this is part of the symbol of the world system. Money, sex, power. All these things are listed in part to show that they've become so obsessed with. Notice that these people are at the end of a list of stuff. Remember in Esther, talk to me, Ty, about Esther and Vashti and stuff. What was going on there? You remember this connection? Alexa, stuff. You there? You there?
No.
Fair enough.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
Abigail, thoughts on this with Vashti? Now remember, King A was showing off all his stuff, the golden cups, all the wealth. And then what does he want to do with Vashti?
Show her off.
The same verb, right? Because she's stuff. These people are seen as stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, Paul lists all these different sins, and one of them is slave trading. Okay? Slave trading is not seen as good in the Bible. Okay? Now, we don't have time to get into all of it. We did this back when we went through Philemon, but there is a, in the ancient world, if Alexa runs out of money and she can't pay Abigail back, she can work for Abigail for a year or get thrown in jail. So she's working for Abigail to pay off for free to pay off that debt. Okay? That was called slavery, but it wasn't slavery in the sense of what's called chattel slavery, which is Abigail kidnapping Alexa from her home against her will, et cetera, et cetera. Not that Abigail would ever do that, right? But you see what I'm saying? That's what happened here in the world system. That was civil war slavery. That's why it was so horrible, right? People, that is human souls. John is driving the point home of how wretched chattel slavery is. So when we say that the Bible supports slavery, well, two things. Number one, just because the Bible has adultery in it, does that mean that the Bible endorses adultery? No, the Bible does have slavery in it. We don't need to hide that, but that doesn't mean it's endorsing slavery, okay? Anyway, there's a lot more that we could get into it here, but that is hugely important. You could go to Revelation and you could tell them, you know, the Bible clearly says and this is at the end. Nothing happens after Revelation, right? The end of the Bible directly refutes slavery, man stealing, okay? So we listed that. Alexa, can you read 14 and 15?
They will say, the fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your luxury and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out.
Good. Now, Ty, again, why are the merchants standing far off from her?
They don't want to be associated with her.
They don't want to be associated with her, right? But they are mourning, right? Now, this is where I wish I could preach this. All right, this is important. This is super important. They loved her, okay? Their bride is dead, but they were married to the wrong bride, okay? We will miss our sin sometimes. Man, I wish I could just go and do whatever. We weep that, not that our, like in a bad way, we weep that we can't go and sin like we used to sin. And you guys will see this as you get older too, especially when you get out of college. There's this pull in your twisted, sinful heart, even as a Christian, back to your sin. Oh, I miss when times were simpler and I could just go do whatever, right? You miss that sin. You mourn over the fact that you can't go sin like that anymore. And you don't think about it like that in your head. You may call it the good old days, right? That's what you'll call it. Like we just change the name around so we don't feel as bad about it. But that's what he's talking about here. One of the ways you can kind of measure how far along you are in Christianity is how much do you miss your sin versus how much do you not miss it. Does that make sense? Christians can still miss their sin. Not that that's good, but it's a reality. And we're trying to continue to, like Paul says, push forward. But when you, if you ever go back and read this in your quiet time, look at how these men lament. This is the whore of Babylon. This person was terrible. They killed Christians, and now she's being burned alive for it. And the men, her lovers, are distraught over it. Now, it's also a selfish distraught. It's, remember, because Babylon is not sacrificial. Money, sex, power, it's not sacrificial at all. Give me, give me, give me. They're sad that they don't get what they want anymore, but they're still sad about it. There's a real sadness here, but it's not a Christian sadness, okay? And this is where the depth of it is. Their hearts, think about it, sexual immorality, you are tied to that person for the rest of your life through physical intimacy. Remember what Paul says, you join with a prostitute, you and the prostitute become one. There's an intimacy with the world system, a love of the world system, and that relationship has been torn, and there's a weeping over it. So there's a depth here, right? It's not a good depth, but there's a depth here. They're weeping over the sinfulness that they can't do anymore. It's kind of this, it's almost like a perverted funeral. Does that make sense? A perverted funeral service. All right, let's keep going. Alexa, can you read 16 and 17?
They will weep and mourn and cry out, "Woe, woe to you, great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, and the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea will stand far off."
Good. So, Ty, we had the kings were weeping, the merchants, the businessmen were weeping. Now, what group of people is weeping?
The shipmasters and the sailors.
Good. Now, this is directly tied to Tyre, T-Y-R-E. If you Google Tyre, I don't think it exists anymore in, under that name, but it is literally, you know, like, I mean, where like Israel is in the in real time, like where Canaan used to be called, I think it's called the Fertile Crescent. I can't remember. Anyway, it's right next to the sea. So it's like this. Tyre is like my thumb here. So here's the mainland. Then you have Tyre. It's surrounded by water on three sides. So naturally, there's a lot of shipmen that live in this corrupt city. So this is a direct callback to not just corrupt cities, but Tyre as a form of Babylon. Just as Tyre was destroyed for its sinfulness, it just represented Babylon. So the real destruction is coming. And again, they stand far off and they cry out because they see the smoke of her burning. If you want to know a little more about Tyre, Ezekiel 27, Ezekiel 27, 30 to 34. Ezekiel 27, 30 to 34. Okay. Now, Ty, can you just read 18?
"And cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning, what city was like the great city?"
So again, they're marveling at it. It was so beautiful. It was so amazing. And in a single day, the wrath of God has decimated it to ash and ruins. Ty, can you just read 19?
"And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, alas, alas, for the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth, for in a single hour she has been laid waste."
Do you remember in Esther how Haman is weeping? Two things. What are the two things that show Haman's weeping?
He put like the, I think it's like a sackcloth on,
yep.
And then like ash.
Good. And what happens in 19? What do they put on their heads? Yeah, it's the same thing. This is a perverted, it's mourning, but it's perverted mourning. They're weeping over this sinful system that has been destroyed. Again, how much do you love your sin? And when we weep for our sin, we need to go to the Lord with that, right? All right, let's finish this out. Abigail, can you read 20 and 21?
Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her.
Good. Then, Sorry. Do 21. got a little excited there.
Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more.
Good. Okay. First of all, notice, Ty, what are the three groups of people that we meet now in verse 20?
The saints, apostles, and prophets.
All right. Who are the saints? Not a tricky answer. Who are the saints? What's a saint? Who are the saints?
Like people of the church.
Boom. You got your church. So even present day. Now, who are the apostles, Ty?
The 12 apostles.
Bingo. And both of those take place in what part of the Bible?
The New Testament.
Good. Now, what's this last group, though?
Prophets.
And where are the prophets in the Bible?
Old Testament.
Good job, Ty. Notice how the prophets even understand this, which again shows that Babylon, the world system of Babylon, is throughout all of time. You see that? The destruction of the world system of Babylon isn't just something that New Testament people can appreciate. The prophets have been waiting for the destruction of the city of man. By the way, this is straight out of Jeremiah 51. This whole section that we're about to read is Jeremiah 51, okay? Abigail, can you read 21 and 22?
Like reread 21?
Yes, please.
Okay. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians, of flute players and trumpeters, will be heard in you no more. And a craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more.
Good. All right. So a couple things. First of all, the city of Babylon being taken like a great stone and thrown into the sea. What happens to, Alexa, in the book of Exodus, what happens to Pharaoh's men when they cross the Red Sea?
They get like drowned when the water goes like over them.
Yes, they are completely washed away in the sea, which is exactly what happens to Babylon here. Does that make sense? Sunk to the bottom of the ocean, okay? It's the total wiped out like they were never even there to begin with. The whole world system is completely drowned in the ocean, decimated. Think about how many in the ancient days, how many people went sailing into the ocean and just never came back, right? Completely wiped off the face of the planet. That's what happens here. Also, Jeremiah 51, verses 63 and 64. Jeremiah 51, 63 and 64, this is exactly what happens to the city of Babylon. Like exactly, which shows us that this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Just as the city of Babylon was destroyed, now it wasn't literally picked up and thrown into the ocean, it's a symbol, right? But just like the real city of Babylon was destroyed, the greater city of Babylon, the city of man, is going to be destroyed as a fulfillment of this. And then we get this, okay, Ty, in a song, what does the chorus of the song do over and over again?
It repeats itself.
Okay, we get this kind of devastating, dark chorus. Did you guys see it in 21 and 22? What's the chorus? Get 21. So, Ty, did you find it?
So, like, Babylon will be thrown down with violence.
Yeah. And then there's a chorus, though. So, what's the part that repeats, I guess, is the best way for me to ask that. Notice.
Babylon will be... says, and...
And you're there?
Like, and such will be found no more, and then such be heard no more.
Good. over and over again. It's this chorus four different times. We'll be, oh, boom. Alexa, what is four reference in Revelation? I just thought of this.
Everything. The people, everything, and nations and everything.
The whole world, which shows that Babylon is, it's everything. Will be found no more. 22. Will be heard no more. Will be found no more. Oh, and it double repeats. Huh. Will be found no more. Will be heard no more. Will be found no more. Will be heard no more. You see that? And what's interesting too is they add to it. So will be found no more. Will be heard in you no more. Will be found in you no more. Will be heard in you no more. So anyway, it repeats, will shine in you no more. Will be heard in you no more. So over and over and over again, no more, no more, no more. There are no more second chances. There is no more mercy to be given. This is the end. The book is closed. The door is locked forever in hell. The end. It's over. Okay. So there's this devastating finality to it all. Does that make sense? No more. There will be no more craftsmen, no more music, no more working, no more light for them. And that doesn't mean that, like, in heaven, there's no working, there's no light. This is for the world system. It's over. Normal society has come to an end. The normal day-to-day life that was filled with so much sin has stopped, so that all the nations can focus on their judge, who is God. So all of normal society, the working, the light, the sound of the mill, the arts, the entertainment, it's all stopped, right? You got your musicians and your flute, that's entertainment. Craftsmen and craft, there's work, but there's also innovation, right? The next iPhone, right? The sound of the mill, the light of the lamp, it's all over for the people of this world. Ty, can you read 23 and 24?
And the light of the lamp will shine in you no more, and the voice of bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more, for your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on earth.
Good. So a couple things here. Deceived by your sorcery. I don't think this is literal wizard stuff. This is more, it's so easy to fall under the spell of the world. Does that make sense? Remember a few weeks ago when we were talking about the false prophet and how they performed miracles, right? And we talked about how that's probably not literal miracles, although miracles even still don't save. It's probably not literal miracles. It's more, they were so amazing, everyone just fell under that spell, right? And then last thing, Ty, just read 24 one more time.
And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on earth.
Prophets. Where do the prophets come from, Alexa? What part of the Bible?
The Old Testament.
The Old Testament. This is all of creation, and the saints, the members of the church, this is all time. Of all time, this has been happening. Christians have been hurt for what they believe, for the truth, for all time, for all who have been slain on the earth. And it's because of the world system of Babylon. And finally, God says, no more. This is done. Now, starting next week, we'll get into the positive side of all this as the church begins to celebrate the destruction of Babylon. Okay? But you guys are done. That's Revelation 18. Great job. We have like three more chapters to go, I think. And that's it, man. I mean, we'll be done with Revelation. So I'm thinking if we finish Revelation before we finish Esther, we'll just move Esther to Sunday afternoons for a few weeks until we finish both of those. And then we'll shift into something different. But we've still got several weeks. So questions about Revelation 18? Good to go. Yeah, Alexa, go for it.
This isn't per se about like Revelation, but okay. Isn't next week Easter? Are we meeting?
Okay.
2 weeks?
Next week is March 28th, which is not Easter. So next Sunday will be normal. Good question. The Sunday of Easter, though, we will not meet. Okay. We tried to do some holiday stuff and it was just a disaster. So we won't. And I'll have family commitments and stuff for Easter. I'm sure we all will. I'm glad you brought that up, though. I don't know that we'll meet on the 11th either. I have a conference that I'm going to, and I'd like to get to the airport early. Anyway, we'll look at all that when we get to, I'll text you guys as we go. But for the next week, normal schedule. Cool? Okay. Good question. All right. Everyone else good? Good to go. Ty, can you pray us out and we'll be done?
Yeah, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this lesson that we received, and just open up our eyes and hearts to it, Lord. And I just pray that each one of us was able to take something away from it and just allow us to spend more time in it and just more time in your word and with you throughout the week. We ask that you just be with us as we start a new week, and just bring us back on Thursday night and then Sunday as well, Lord. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. Love you guys. This will be on the podcast later this afternoon, and I will see you guys Thursday, okay? Bye.